All right, final hour here of our week on the Mike Salt Show, Seattle Sports. Thanks for hanging out with us, whether it's here on 710 AM, whether you're streaming online at seattlesports.com, or if you are listening to us later on podcast somewhere, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, you name it. Thanks for being with us and hope you're having a good week or maybe even weekend already, depending on who you are and what you do when you're listening. All right, open phone lines. We do this Fridays at 9. We got some people on the line. Excuse me, would love to have a few more. I just ate that Pop-Tart, by the way, during the break. I'm not going to lie. No matter what the
doctor... I just ordered a 16-pack of banana cream pie Pop-Tart to be delivered here.
Banana cream anything I'm in on. I can promise you that. I love it. I love fake banana flavors we were just talking about. So if you have thoughts on maybe more important things, if you would prefer that we talk about the Mariners, kind of let me know where you're at with this 8-of-9 losing streak they're on here and what you'd see like to see them do to get out of it. And your thoughts on some of the roster moves they've made, etc. I'd love to talk some Mariners with you guys this morning, 206-421-3776. If you'd like to talk a little Seahawks, straight up coming off the draft, we've barely talked to you guys all week long. If you have a reaction to what they did, a favorite pick, something you're concerned about, a lot of concern about the quarterback room. Do you like what they're doing at the quarterback position? Are you concerned? Is there a specific quarterback move you'd like them to make? I got about a million questions for you, so jump in here, 206-421-3776 is the phone number, and we'll kick things off with line two. Mike is in Edmonds. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Falk. How you doing?
I'm doing great. What's up?
Let's start with a trivia first.
Yes.
My sister-in-law has a place on the Big Island,
yep.
And we have many times wondered why apple bananas don't transfer to the mainland, because they're so much better.
No. Let me talk to you, Mike. I'm sorry. I could not disagree with you more, and I know that you're a smart guy, and we've talked Mariners any number of times. I've been to Hawaii, to the islands, and had the apple banana. Got excited when I first saw them that maybe this was the King Mike in disguise, and instead they're awful. They have very little taste. They're not good at all. They're these, like, short, stubby bananas without taste.
Oh, my. Well, you and I have totally different taste buds then. So let's move on from
all
that.
Right,
we'll agree
please.
To disagree on that.
All right, good. Let's go. What else you got?
I'm so glad I didn't call in last week or the week before, the week before, 2 weeks ago. And reiterate my feeling that the Mariners were going to win 100 games.
Okay.
That doesn't look reasonable at this point, and I only see two rays of hope on the horizon. One is named Kyle Lewis, and the other is named George Kirby.
Mm.
And other than that, I don't know exactly how they're going to get out of this spot they're in. I don't see Kelenic magically hitting 250 anytime soon. They're waiting on those two guys to come up, I guess.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, and always appreciate the phone call, Mike. Thank you. Even though we have a banana disagreement, it's good to talk Mariners with you as always. All right, a couple things. Do I think that their only hope is George Kirby and Kyle Lewis? No, I think most of the hope for this team relies on its current 25-man roster, right? Their hope relies in Jesse Winker getting better and being who he's always been. Excuse me, Adam Frazier, all these guys kind of getting back to kind of what their baseball card says they are. I think that's where most of the hope comes from. And then after that, it's probably about going out in the trade market and bringing in some of the right pieces to solve whatever problems emerge over the course of the first, 60 to 80 games, right? There's this old idea that if you divide a baseball season into, groups of 50, roughly, the first third of the season is all about figuring out who you are. The next third of the season, if you're good enough, is about making the changes and tinkering in order to make your stretch run. And then the final couple of months of the season is about actually playing with that team to win. And I think that's sort of where the Mariners are at right now. They're still in the discovery phase. Could George Kirby be here soon? Yes. Am I banking on another rookie or the health of Kyle Lewis for this team? No, I think that's a fool's errand, quite frankly. So, yeah, I think those things are important, but I'm not going to look at them as the be-all, end-all. So 206-421-3776. Let's run down the line to line three. Another Mike who is in University Place. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's happening, man?
Nothing. What's going on?
So you're talking about Baker Mayfield, and it really, really kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I don't think we should bring him in. We got done with a whole lot of drama with Russell and Wagner and all this kind of stuff. And after the draft, I think we drafted really, really well. I agree with you. I would have liked to corner in the first one, but Cross is a good one. But bringing Baker Mayfield in is just going to end up bringing more negative talk or bad talk that we just don't really need, especially after the draft that we did. And the way that we coach and the way that we build, I mean, when Odell Beckham left the New York Giants, it was like still mad at the Giants. If he comes to us, it's all going to be about trying to prove the Browns wrong. Mm. I just don't think that that's something that we really need to handle with.
You don't want a guy with something to prove?
He plays with a chip on his shoulder, but I don't think that he's the guy. I think Drew Locke has an opportunity to play well, and I think the way that we're building.
Let me pause you for a moment. Let me just ask you a question in a vacuum. Yeah. Who's a better quarterback, Drew Locke or Baker Mayfield?
I believe that I would rather roll with Drew Locke.
Hold on. No, you're not answering my question.
No, okay.
Who's a better quarterback?
Baker Mayfield is probably a better quarterback.
Almost definitely.
But almost
with certainty. He was the number one overall pick. He brought the Cleveland Browns to the playoffs just a couple of years ago and then played through an incredibly injured shoulder last year that has taken out a lot better guys than him. So let's be clear. Baker Mayfield is a better quarterback than Drew Locke.
If that's how you want to do it. I just don't think the Seahawks direction, the focus of where we're trying to turn after 10 years of Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And we got really spoiled having him. And so the turnaround that we got going on, you know, build. And I think next year's draft, we have draft picks. We have incredible cap space. I'd rather bring in Jimmy Garoppolo than Baker Mayfield.
Well, I think that's an interesting point, and I'm not going to agree with you necessarily on the Garoppolo part of it, but on the rest of it, I think I do, and I think you're making a really strong point. I think you got to admit, Baker Mayfield is better than Drew Locke or anybody else currently on their roster, but I understand why you wouldn't want him go in that direction to bring him in, that you're trying to build for the long term, you're not looking for a short-term fix. It's hard for me to fathom that the Seahawks are fully, you know, committed to that because of their desire to go get Deshaun Watson. Now, maybe they viewed Deshaun Watson as just being so elite, so much better that they owed it to themselves for the long haul, not just the short term, to go get him this offseason if it was possible. I'll buy that. But a team that was willing to go after Deshaun Watson right now and pay him all the money that they would have had to pay him, to me, thinks they're in win now mode. Whether they are or not, thinks that they are. And if you think you are, then wouldn't you want to see what Baker Mayfield has as opposed to just rolling with Drew Locke and Geno Smith? That's how I would use logic in my head. But I'm very curious to see how this plays out here in the next couple of weeks. 206-421-3776. We'll jump to Tobias, who is in Los Angeles. Good morning, Tobias.
Good morning. How's
Hello.
It going?
It's going great.
That's awesome. So I just wanted to tell you guys how exciting German citizens kind of are right now that the Seahawks are playing at home for them.
Okay.
In Munich. And for me, I live in L.A. For a couple of years now, moved over, a huge Seahawks fan for 10 years, listened to you guys, love all of your guys' stuff every day. And yesterday I was listening to Wyman and Bob, and they were like, yeah, you know, other people maybe they're excited over there or not. I can just tell you the super smart move. That stadium is going to be packed with Seahawks fans. Everyone is so excited.
Cool.
And going to be a home game.
Are you from Munich? Is that where you're from?
Yeah, exactly.
So have you been to the river where the people go surfing?
That's the Eisbach Canal.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Many All right. Times. And have you been to the BMW Museum there?
Absolutely.
How is it?
It's amazing. And overall, what I can just say, and I don't want to, you know, it shouldn't be like an advertisement here for you know,
it's okay.
The guys from
Munich Board of Tourism. It's fine. No big deal. Yes.
Go over there, get in the beer garden, get a nice Stein, drink one or two, go to the game. And I have to say one thing. I'm not a big Bayern Munich fan. That's the Bayern Munich Stadium. The fans are not really known for being like the most enthusiastic kind of, I would say. So
okay.
I feel like this. Going to change in November.
All right.
When we are hitting that stadium, it's going to be loud, it's going to be great, and everyone is going to be so
will there
excited.
Will there be more Seahawks fans there than Bucks fans?
Hell yeah.
All right, man. That's good. That sounds awesome. Well, we
need Tobias
it.
To call us again as we get closer to that
game. Should people be flying direct to Munich, or do you fly to Frankfurt
and drive down on the Autobahn?
There are some connections to Munich as well, but go the Autobahn, go crazy, have a good time, enjoy your pretzel, enjoy your beer. It's going to be great. Go on.
Wow. Board of tourism there from Munich. Yeah. Appreciate the phone call. There you go. All right. That's a little quick trip through the phone line. Some baseball, some football, some food, and some Germany. You just never know what you're going to get when you open up the lines. We'll tell you everything you actually need to know next. It is the Mike Salt Show here on Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
You really thought getting home was going to be the recipe the Mariners needed, but it sure didn't go that way last night. They fall behind early in the fourth inning, unable to bounce back. Robbie Ray, mostly pretty good. It's why it's so confounding, right? Falls apart in the fourth inning, gave up a run, and then with a couple guys on base, got beat by Mike Zunino.
The 3-1 swung on, belted deep to left field. Winker going back to the warning track, looking up, and goodbye baseball. Into the Rays bullpen, Mike Zunino with a 3-run home run here in the top of the fourth inning, and the Rays now lead 4-0 for Zunino, his third home run of the season.
Credit to the Mariners. They scratched and clawed their way back into it, nearly found a way, but just not enough. 4-3 your final. They've lost 8 of 9. They've fallen to 12-14 on the season. Scott Service switched things up a little bit with the lineup. We saw Abraham Toro move up to the leadoff spot. Jesse Winker and Adam Frazier both dropped down and actually each responded with a couple of home run, one apiece. But overall, they're just struggling to string hits together, and in this losing stretch, they've only scored more than 3 runs in a game twice, which just isn't enough to get it done. And as for Robbie Ray, we can talk more about him. It's kind of a funny situation because he's looked good, right? He still went 6 2/3 yesterday, and he's given you innings, and other than that one inning, he was essentially dominant. The velocity seems like it's finally back up near where it should be. And yet, you know, as the reigning Cy Young Award winner and their big offseason splash move, I'll be honest, I was expecting a little bit more and I have higher expectations for him. And, you know, in a spot like that where you need a stopper to kind of step up and be the ace of the staff, that's not necessarily what he showed yesterday. So looking forward to seeing where his season goes from here, because I think they really need him to be great.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
It was a busy day of roster moves for the Mariners yesterday. Jerry Dipoto mentioned this on the show, and then they got involved later. All pitchers, biggest news, Matt Brash sent to Tacoma. He will be a reliever now moving forward. That should make it a short stint, right? So he should be able to bounce back and be in the big league sooner rather than later. In fact, Scott Service said that yesterday.
You know, we were going to probably introduce the bullpen to him, you know, so he'll probably come out of the bullpen down there. I think he can come back maybe and impact our club sooner if he can get a feel for it coming out of the bullpen. And that would be like maybe in some longer stints where he comes in for 2 or 3 innings at a time, or you could use him in a short stint as well, but give him some experience doing that. Do not want to make that conversion first time coming out of the bullpen in the big leagues. That's not fair to him.
Well, and I'm a little curious about this move in general. I think there's some risk here, obviously. It changes his development pattern, potentially could limit his long-term value to the club and for himself. And look, I can tell you the good news here is that this was not an overnight decision. They didn't decide this in the last week or two. Ah, he's not starting well, so let's make a huge change. This is something they've been considering and talking about for quite some time throughout the offseason, throughout spring training, and they believe he could help by taking multiple innings at a time, which is a position that they have sought forever. They've always wanted somebody to kind of take those multiple innings. So we'll see whether or not that works in Matt Brash's case. Other moves, Matt Festa heads to the IL. Nick Margavich is DFA'd. They also brought up relievers Riley O'Brien and Danny Young. As for who takes Matt Brash's next start, I don't think we know yet. I know they do. We don't. You'd think it would be George Kirby, maybe Levi Stout. Kirby has been really good so far. 24 innings for Arkansas this season. He's given up 5 earned runs, 5 walks, 32 strikeouts, an ERA of just 1.82.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
All right, as for the Seahawks, they start rookie mini camp later this afternoon. We should get our first look at their new additions. Obviously, that starts with the first round pick, number 9 overall, Charles Cross. I want to see his athleticism. I want to see what he looks like out in space and kind of operating on the move. That's where he should really shine and should be a difference maker for them. Also seems like everyone, though, is taking their shots at the Seahawks quarterback situation. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk writing yesterday, now every team other than the Seahawks appears to have a solid plan at the position. National folks certainly chiming in. Here's Marcus Spears.
But I make it simple and plain for people, okay? If I told you you were coming into an NFL season and your QB room was Drew Lock, Geno Smith, and Jacob Easton, how in the hell would you feel about your team this year?
Not great.
Okay, so we're going to keep it 100 on. Hey. We're going to keep it 100 on NFL Live to start from the jump.
Prayers
don't nobody feel good about the quarterback situation.
I kind of want to hang out with Marcus Spears.
Yeah, he's fun.
He seems fun. Is he right? Yeah, I mean, it's sort of hard to disagree with him that, you know, Locke and Smith, et cetera, don't have the resume to make you believe they're franchise quarterbacks. Do I think that the Seahawks are making a mistake? No, I think they'd be making a much bigger mistake going after the wrong guy and trying to bring in a Carson Wentz or some of the other things that teams have done. So more of a long-term effort, I think, here for the Seahawks, and we've seen that before. Sounds like KJ Wright would love to return home to Seattle. He joined Trey Wingo and said so.
I want to go back home. I think it's that simple. Seattle know that I want to come back. They know that how much they mean to me. Last year, I left, went to Vegas by myself. My family didn't come with me. Not doing that again. I don't think I'm going to move my family anywhere else across the country. And so, if it's not Seattle, then you know I'll be happy. I'll be content.
All right. Well, so either he retires or he comes back to Seattle. I think obviously everybody loves KJ Wright. We'll see whether or not that would be a fit for them at some sort of a veteran minimum. It also, I think, is worth noting that KJ's best friend is Bobby Wagner, and despite whatever went down between the Seahawks and Bobby, KJ would be willing to come back and wants to return to this organization. I think that at least is a vital piece of information. It's everything you need to know, and we do that quarter past every hour here on the Mike Salk Show.
I was thinking about the Baker deal, and I like him. I think he'd be fun to watch for a year.
Yes.
I don't think he's the long-term future.
No.
But our caller that called in was just like, I don't want the drama. I don't want the there was one other word he used to describe him. I mean, I don't know if it was exactly because of what happened in Cleveland or if it's what Cleveland told you what happened to Baker. Like, the more I think about it, it's like he went through how many coaches, how many coordinators, and was still relatively successful for what you get in Cleveland.
Yeah.
But
remember
Cleveland,
when Freddie Kitchens was the coach?
Yeah, it was sort of a mess for him.
Huge, I mean, like, yeah,
I feel like he endured a lot.
So I'm saying. So on one hand, yes, I think he's worth a shot and is better than Geno and Drew Smith right now. Like, I don't think that's much for the date. But on the other hand, Cleveland clearly didn't see him in their future.
Well, especially, though, if you want to say the same thing about Drew Lock, like, oh, he didn't really get a fair shot.
Yeah, they all have chips on their shoulders in that way. They all have something to prove.
Who had less of a fair shot? Drew Lock with what was deemed to be a roster so good that if Russell Wilson showed up there, they're going to be Super Bowl contenders next year, or a guy who was in Cleveland with all the different, as you said, head coaches, coordinators, etc., messed up organization. You know, I would say that quite frankly, Drew Lock had a better spot than Baker Mayfield's been in.
All I'm saying is it's hard to read anything out of the toxicity that is known as Cleveland.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point, and Justin, I totally agree. All right, we'll talk to Brock here in just a moment, and then, of course, ranking to end our show. If you have suggestions, you can text them to 206-421-3776. That is the Mac and Jack's text line. Mike Salk Show here on Seattle Sports on 710.
Brock and Salk.
With my brains and your brawn, we'll make an excellent team.
Every morning at 7:45 and 9:30, presented by Top Fitness Store on the Mike Salk Show.
Brock Huard is my hero.
What Brock Huard says, we know he's not a friend of mine.
Subscribe to receive new episodes of the Brock and Salk podcast at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Good morning, Brock.
Good morning, Mike. Well, you knew it was coming. You knew it was coming last night.
What's that?
Boy, howdy had time with Mike yesterday. You took him to lunch. he hung out with him. He did a little BP with him. So you knew that Howdy fixed Zanino.
Again.
And that was unfortunate. That was unfortunate.
It certainly was not anything that I would have liked to have seen. I don't know. You know how I feel about former players coming back and haunting you. Like, it's such a sad moment when it occurs. Right. And again, I don't feel like they made a mistake with Zanino, but yeah, seeing him kind of come back and, and do that. Yeah. Certainly not what you were looking for yesterday.
Well, you can cast blame on Howdy. You know, any all of you that were mad last night, screamed at your TV, or if you were there and waded through the elements, you can scream at Howdy today. Just he's to blame. He fixed him again.
Great, awesome. Thanks. What's going on in Florida? Well, we were doing a little rapid fire. We were going through some questions in general. Who's your favorite current Seattle athlete, Brock?
My current favorite Seattle athlete is it's kind of sad that one doesn't just pop right in my head, huh? Probably Sam Heward.
That's a good answer. How is Sam doing? Is he going to be the starting quarterback?
No, I don't know. That's not been announced yet. And he's sticking it out. He's toughing it out. And it's not been easy. And spring was a little bit up and down. He had a great spring game, threw a couple touchdowns, and probably, honestly, had his best day as a Husky on Saturday at the spring game. So I was excited for him. And they're going to keep pushing. And Michael Penix probably right now, if they had to play tomorrow, the transfer from Indiana, the fifth year seniors would probably be the one under center. But yeah, I'd say my nephew Sammy, persevering and pushing, probably my favorite Seattle athlete. As far as the pro teams, my mind kind of drifts to DK because of his charisma and, you know, his will and his fight. And so I'd probably right now, Tyler's a little quiet. I'd probably point to DK. He's probably my favorite Seattle athlete.
Did you see the DK on the Shannon Sharp show? There's some conversation about him racing Tyreek Hill. Did you see any of that?
I saw something on Twitter with that.
Yeah. So they sort of called out Tyreek and was like, yeah, I think I could beat him in a race. And so Tyreek got back to him and was like, yep, let's do it. Put up a certain amount of money for charity. I assume DK will say yes and donate to a domestic violence charity because that's the only thing to do in a situation like that. do you think who wins? I mean, if it's a 40, it's got to be.
Depends how long that race is.
Right.
Yeah, if it's 30 or 40, Tyreek's probably winning. If it's, you know, 60 to 100, I think I'd put my money on DK.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill is so fast.
What is,
and, you know.
Good. Oh, so,
you know, it's just his turnover. I mean, his quickness. That if you were to count whenever they do race, and I hope they do, the number of strides that those two take and the difference. Like Usain Bolt, you know, DK's like Usain, and Tyreek's like so many of those other sprinters, right, that are so powerful and yet have a turnover that's not human either. So that would be a heck of a race right there. The longer the distance, the better shot I give DK.
What is the distance at which it should be even?
50.
50 yards?
Yep. I bet you it's 50 yards. And that's often a question I will ask these coaches in meetings and just say, hey, line up all of your offensive players and put in pads. First one in the 50 is who? And it's pretty interesting when those coaches know right off the bat, and then it's a little alarming when they're like, oh, good question. And then it's really scary when they're like, I don't want to see those times. I don't want to do that. You kind of get the full spectrum and the full gamut of it. But I would think about 50 yards, right? Just like running the go route, deep ball, whatever Wasp was in the Super Bowl for Tyreek on his big play, and obviously DK chasing down Buda Baker and catching him probably 50, 60 yards into that. I was a little further, but he sure made up a lot of ground at 50 yards. I think 50 would be a good race.
What I'm going to head over, Moore and I were talking, we're going to go over to rookie minicamp on Sunday. When I get there, what's the first thing I should look for?
I think you should there's a lot of debate about this because his Twitter is still Kenneth. So if he wants to go by Ken, then change your Twitter, okay? Call yourself Ken Walker on Twitter, which I'm frankly not as comfortable with. I like Kenneth. I'll even go with Kenny. He's kind of the anti-Billy Joe Hobert. You know, when Bill came to Puyallup as a sophomore, he was Bill Hobert. When he left for UW, he was Billy Hobert. And by the end of his career, he wanted to be Billy Joe Hobert at the University of Washington. Mm. I'm not super comfortable with this toothpaste back in the tube and going from Ken's Kenny to Ken. But he's I think your eyes are, just knowing you as well, Salk, and the way that, you know, you look at the game at times and the way that we've seen Chris Carson out on the field transform his body. And we're like, oh my gosh, and his speed. And running back should look pretty good. You know, he's not getting hit, and it may be bundled up a little bit, or maybe some mass of humanity at times. But I think he's going to be at a different speed and a different gear than any of those other rookies out there. A, because running backs can do that. It's like, hey, yep, hit the A gap, hit the, you know, the D gap, hit this, hit the swing route. So I think your eye's going to gravitate to Ken Walker.
How fast is Levi Lewis going to look? Here's what I was telling Maura. What I want the my headline on Monday to be the same headline it was 10 years ago, that Levi Lewis knows every single play in the playbook already and the ball never once hit the ground.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a high bar. Those are, I think, realistic, unrealistic expectations right there. I think you'll be curious to see him and realize, like, man, even though Russell was 5'10 and 5'8, he had a presence that was 6'2 or 6'3, right? That's just the way that he carried himself. I'll be very curious. I've not seen Levi in person. I've watched him half a dozen times, as I said to you, and either on Monday or on our podcast. Like, he did what you love that position to do. He elevated everybody around him, and Billy Napier waited to leave Louisiana Lafayette until he was done with eligibility, and then he took a job at Florida. So, you know, he'll spin it pretty good. I think you'll like his arm. I think you'll be pretty impressed, but I think you'll come away walking going, man, yeah, Russell, for a little guy, was so amazing with how huge his presence and command was. I think that will be the challenge. He'll be athletic. He'll spin it. But what I want you watching is just, and Maura, is that sense of command and how he carries himself out there. That's what I'll be most curious about.
All right, sounds good. Now we got something to watch for. We're looking forward to it. I assume we're watching for you this weekend on the USFL sidelines?
Yes, late kick tonight. You know, kind of an odd kick, 10 Eastern time, 9 Central here in Alabama. So, yeah, it's going to be a late night for yours truly. But tomorrow night, you know, you can flip between, I think, the Mariners and the old Birmingham Stallions. It will be 6 local. So even before the Mariners game, 4 your time. Check out Fox tomorrow. You'll have a
Are you allowed to have a favorite USFL team?
Yeah, because it's the one that brings fans in the stands. That would be the home team. So I think they're everybody's favorite because there's like 20,000 that show up.
That sounds better. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes it a very different environment.
All right.
So,
You'll be happy, Brock. If you have some time, your guy Jason Day is atop the leaderboard this weekend. He's like brought himself back from the dead. I heard him interviewed yesterday. A lot of questions about his back and how the new swing is working with his back.
Yeah.
So if you have some time, you can go see your guy Jason Day.
I will check that out. You got it, buddy.
See you, dude. There you go. There's Brock Heward.
Weekend.
All right, you too. There's Brock Heward every morning at 7:45 and 9:30. And he's got a busy weekend ahead. Lots of USFL action in Birmingham. So you can make sure you check Brock out on TV there. Speaking of TV, so Brock, of course, will be on Fox. If you are expecting to watch the Mariners tonight on Root Sports, as you might normally do, you're going to be very confused when you turn on Root and there's no Mariners game. You will have, of course, two options. One, just listen to the game, of course. You can do that every night here on Seattle Sports on 710, so you can listen to the game. Or, if you were so inclined, you can go to Apple TV. Apple TV will have the broadcast
tonight.
Now,
the Friday night baseball game.
Yeah, I've heard mixed reviews, and when I say mixed, it's weird that the phrase mixed reviews usually means bad. Like, oh, that's kind of got mixed reviews usually means it's a bad thing. I've heard that people love the Apple TV broadcast, and I've heard some people that don't like it as much, but I'm kind of curious to see it for myself, kind of get a sense of what that looks like, because I think they're doing some new things, different people,
et cetera. And for the record, no subscription is needed to watch Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV.
Oh, so even if you don't have an Apple TV subscription, you just need the app and you can watch it.
I'm on MLB.com.
Oh, that's kind of interesting. I didn't realize that.
To access Friday Night Baseball games on Apple TV, just follow the steps. You launch it and get the app for MLB TV app.
I think most listeners would have that. Don't you think most people have watched Ted Lasso and therefore have an Apple TV?
I didn't get Apple TV until a couple months ago.
I only got it to watch Ted Lasso because at
Same
some
thing.
Point people were like, you should watch Ted Lasso. And so I did.
No, I got it because, I think my girlfriend got it because she got a new phone and they gave her like 3 months or something.
Yeah.
Like,
I got a new iPhone and I got like a full year.
Yeah. Did you end up staying with it because of that? No.
Yeah, I don't think I've canceled. I think it's one of those things where you have to cancel it.
Weren't you the one who was all upset about the John Hamm commercial because you didn't like him in his cool house not being on Apple TV?
Not that I didn't like him. I didn't think that commercial. You wanted to like talk about the commercial on air and do a bit with it. And Justin and I were like, we didn't think it was that great of a commercial.
I thought it was the best commercial around the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I thought
we just
it was
didn't agree
awesome.
With you on that.
Oh, it was so good. John Hamm was so funny in it. Just sitting there getting mad that he's not in any of the Apple TV shows. I thought that was pretty great. So, all right. Well, hopefully everyone's going to have a good weekend. Maura and I have decided we're going to Seahawks rookie mini camp on Sunday. So we'll get a little sense of what's going on over there, get eyes on some of these guys, and we'll come back with hopefully some good takeaways on
Brock
Monday.
Was talking to me about it when he hung up. He seemed excited. And I was like, all right, I'm not going to do as much body scouting as you do, though.
Right,
that's a little creepy. I think.
So for somebody who's never been to this, what's it look like?
You know what? I don't know that I've ever been to rookie mini camp. I've been to other mini camps. I don't know that I've been to rookie mini camp.
So the one I went to was indoors because of the weather, and they basically just line them up like offense, defense, and they'll do some drills, have the guys, you know, run a route and throw. It's pretty laid back, but it is always impressive to me that these guys come from all over, different styles, different coaches, and they all seem to know what they're doing.
They have the same drills
when they just flew in yesterday.
Yeah. It is pretty crazy, and honestly, they're all trying to figure out the playbook and, like, learn all that stuff as quickly as possible. It's funny, when you said they line them all up, I just imagine them all, like, trying to organize themselves by height or, like, by geography of where they came from. Like, all right, guys, little bonding exercise. Levi Lewis, you're all the way to the one side, 5'8". Sorry, buddy.
But yeah, it's definitely more like working on hand placement, just doing some catching, things like that. It's nothing hardcore.
Well, I was sort of joking. I mean, look, I would love to find that out about Levi Lewis. I think that would be really fun. But this was the moment that Russell first kind of started drawing attention. He came to rookie minicamp and already knew the playbook, already acted like the leader, and by all accounts didn't miss a pass. It was like he literally had 2 incompletions in the entirety of rookie minicamp. And everyone was like, hold on, we got a little something here that's unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it didn't win him the job necessarily, but it put him on track to truly compete for it by the time they got to training camp. And so, yeah, I do think that there's some relevance to watching what happens here and seeing which guys are going to need a lot of coaching and which guys kind of instantly get it and who stands out, right? We've talked about Bo Melton as maybe being polished enough and having some of the raw speed, et cetera. Is he polished enough to right away look like he belongs out on an NFL field? I think that's a huge question to ask coming out of Rutgers. Boye Mafe, right? Another guy who, by all accounts, was coached up at the Senior Bowl, and you saw a different version of him. So what can he do with some of the Seahawks coaching, et cetera? I want to see what the 3-4 defense looks like and what kind of drills they're doing defensively. So I actually think it's a pretty interesting weekend to kind of be around the Seahawks and see what they're up to leading into this season. So kind of some new wrinkles in place for that team. Let's do some ranking.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwumfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Every morning at 9:45 on the Mike Salk Show.
That top 10 list. I'm not buying that.
Ranked.
Yeah, texters, one idea is, hey, it's a little out there, like no ranking you've ever done before, but stick with me on it.
Hmm.
What about top 5 clubs?
Clubs. Of course, you got the club sandwich. You got 50 cents in the club.
My favorite part was that our second one, when we forgot that we did it, was different than the first one.
Yeah. What? Impossible.
Revisionist clubs.
Yeah, you can't prove that, Maura.
The pitching wedge.
Pitching wedge number one.
Yep.
Yeah.
At one point.
For ranked, how about the top Mother's Day gifts? And Sunday is Mother's Day. Did you guys get, well, Justin specifically, did you get a Mother's Day gift?
I did. My family's in town, so I don't want to say it right now.
In case they might be listening.
They could be listening at this moment. Yeah. But yeah, they're in town. But we are going to a game that could be part of my Mother's Day gift. She knows that. Nice. So going to the Saturday night.
Heather never listens to the show. She hates it. So I'm pretty safe in talking about what we've done there. Big romantic gift this year, a footstool.
Footstool.
Yeah, step stool, kind of.
For
the house, yeah, our old step stool kind of got painted over, I would say, during the renovation. So we got a new step stool and
very practical.
A spice drawer rack. A rack of spices. Ooh. For the drawer.
Organizational part of me loves that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Got to get those spices all into one place in one drawer. So.
Sweet.
Heather, hope you're not listening. Don't tell Heather. That's what the kids got her this year. And then I told you my mom doesn't celebrate Mother's Day until November. So I'm off the hook there.
Mm,
my mom's birthday is next week.
Split it up by 6 months,
yeah,
right? Is that the idea?
6 months later.
Cool. Yeah.
It's all family tradition.
Okay, so no
Mother's
Day gifts.
Well, that's not what we're doing. No Mother's Day gifts. You guys have to figure that out on your own. Sorry, but don't forget.
Also, Sunday, Mother's Day, at the Mariners game, you get the Mother's Day purses. So if you do forget a gift, you want to get a game ticket.
If you want to come visit me, it's Naqualmie Casino. We're giving away purses there as well. I'll be there on Sunday afternoon since Heather and the girls are ditching me for the next few days.
Oh.
Yes.
A lot of stuff to.
Yeah, that's how it goes. All right. That's not what we're ranking, though, today. What I want to rank, based on our Pop-Tart conversation, is not bananas nor fruit in general, but artificial fruit flavors ranked. Okay?
Yep.
Artificial fruit flavors ranked. Now, grape, which sort of started this whole conversation, not there. Not in the top five.
Grape is in the bottom five.
Maybe last.
Yeah, the grape Powerade has saved me on many a Saturday morning. Yeah, that should be higher on the list. Or deserves to be on the list.
Now, blue raspberry could be on the list. Not a bad tasting flavor, but I'm confused by the idea of a blue raspberry.
So it doesn't make it tough, huh?
Well, I think it's certainly it's a demerit.
You're ranking artificial flavors, so it doesn't have to be
That's the point.
Real.
That's a good point. I used to like blue raspberry more when I was younger, and I've sort of I feel like I've grown out of blue raspberry as a flavor.
Okay.
The absolute worst flavor, it's not grape. The worst fake flavor is orange. Orange popsicle.
Orange Starburst is my favorite.
Oh, disgusting. Orange is the worst,
that's
man.
A problem.
I think it's because my sister used to eat the pink and the red ones, so I got left with the yellows and the oranges, so I learned to like it.
You just settled on them as your favorite?
Exactly. Your sister didn't want any part of that because she's got taste.
Yeah. Sorry.
All right. Top five fake fruit flavors, artificial flavors. Number five, watermelon. You don't see it a lot, but when you see it, you probably want to grab it.
The sour watermelon candies deserve a little bit more respect than number five. The
Pretty
Sour
legit.
Patch watermelons.
Pretty legit.
Mm, yeah.
But it's at least it's on the list.
I like a good sour grapefruit candy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty good.
Yep.
Grapefruit's a good flavor.
The sour watermelon sharks, I think Trolley makes those.
Sour watermelon shark?
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't know about the shark.
You got to get them. It's your bachelor weekend. You should go get them.
All right. Number four. Gosh, this feels like it should be higher to me because it's so good. And it's one of the great fruit. It's probably the best fruit, but the number four fruit flavor, peach.
Oh, I was going to say, okay.
Peach number four.
The peach rings.
Peach anything, man. Fake peach flavor is so good. If you put it in just about anything from like peach schnapps all the way through, like what we were saying earlier, peach, those peach sour peaches.
Yeah, the sour peach, the rings.
Oh,
peach schnapps.
That
man,
one.
That's a throwback.
Yeah, I know, right?
We used to have a golf tournament with peach schnapps.
Did you do a little vomiting afterwards?
Maybe. But it's
a little sweet.
If you lost a ball, you're your choice. You could go over to the peach schnapps, you could rip a sleeve off.
It's a little sweet.
It's pretty good, though.
Yeah. I think I'd go with the peach schnapps. I value my sleeves.
Peach schnapps and there's something else in it. Yeah.
Anyway, I like peach. I will put that number four.
It's a
now,
good fake flavor.
As a real flavor, peaches are number one. It's my favorite fruit. I love, I mean, especially here. The great peaches we get in the Northwest. Mm.
They have to be just right
as
far as ripeness, but they're really good if they are.
You got to check the Brix rating on that more. We'll talk through that this summer.
Okay.
You check the Brix rating. Once it gets over a certain number, that's when you want to go buy your peaches.
Okay.
All right. Number three, artificial flavors ranked, green apple.
Ooh, that's my number one.
Wow.
Sour green apple straws, sour punch straws, sour ropes. I guess I'd say anything sour. Really, I didn't think about it. Jolly Rancher.
Green Jolly Rancher is where I would have gone with that. That, to me, is the ultimate green apple flavor.
And the green Airheads.
It's way too sweet now, but when I was younger, I loved those caramel apple pops.
Yeah.
Lollipops.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Mm,
just the apple fare. I try to cut the caramel part off and just get to the apple.
You don't like caramel?
A bigger candy fan than I thought for someone that says he doesn't like sweet
really
stuff.
Really sour. I like. They need to be like extreme flavor or else I'm not going to get into it. Like chocolates and that doesn't mean anything for me.
A lot of people mentioning pineapple. Pineapple's probably an also-rans. Very close. I love pineapples, and I really like pineapple flavor. They are probably just missed. It was watermelon or pineapple for me, kind of back and forth for number five.
Well, when you said peach, I was hoping you were going to say pineapple. So
number three was green apple. Now, number two may be controversial.
Uh-oh.
Red. Now, I know what you're going to say, Mike. Red's not a flavor, and Morris going to get after me a little bit. Be like, oh, you're not taking ranking seriously.
No, I actually get what you're saying.
Red is a flavor of artificial fruit.
Red dye for
you. We were talking about like when you get fruit snacks or Starburst or whatever. But they have the bag of Starburst that's just all red.
It's just red.
Because it's like when you get into artificial flavors, cherry, raspberry, blackberry, they all kind of taste the same.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost all fruit punch, right? But it's all just red, right? Hawaiian punch is just red, right? Red Gatorade.
It could be cherry. It could be strawberry. I'm not sure. It's red.
It's just red.
Raspberry. I don't know.
You're just going to call it red.
Fruit punch. I like
Red Lifesavers. By far the best.
I can't think of the name of it.
Yeah.
It'll come to me.
All right. Well, number two is definitely Red. And I would hope, despite maybe being a little bit controversial, I hope people would understand that and sympathize with
the use of Red. I think your number one is the most controversial.
425. When I woke up today, I had no idea I could get this upset over a ranking of artificial flavors. I could not disagree more with this madness.
Well, just wait, 425, because number one on my list is banana, baby.
You are so wrong. The only artificial banana available or that should be left after the whole extinction of candy is the Laffy Taffy banana. That's the only worthy
fake banana
flavor.
The banana runt is the best runt. And the way you can kind of like get it up into your teeth, like it's the best. Ugh. I love the banana runt.
Nah.
No.
Really?
No.
I remember finding out at some point that there were people that didn't like banana runts and being like, wait, what?
Dude, more for you.
Totally shocking to me.
I just
if
found
they had
out
an all banana runt thing, I would do that. I don't even need any of the other runs.
I just found out recently that you can make your own bags of Sour Patch Kids. Like you can get a whole bag of blue, or you can mix your own.
How?
Go to the website. Go to the Sour Patch website. Get all your own colors and your own mixes.
Witchcraft.
Maybe you can do the same thing with runs. So just get a bag of bananas. They'll be like, thank you. Somebody finally took these off the shelves.
People really give the internet a bad name at times and say it's really caused the down spiral of society. But then you hear something like that and it really restores your faith in the internet again.
Somebody in the 253 is going to dress up as a banana at the Mariners game tonight. So watch for them. Then you can think.
Can't wait. All right. Well, somebody has sent me a link to buy a Gross Michelle banana. We'll see if this works.
And we have some banana cream Pop-Tarts on the way, so we have some show updates.
It's $67 to buy one of these freaking bananas.
Whoa.
I'm going to do it, and I will do it proudly. If this works and it's not a scam to steal my identity, I'm going to be super psyched. And if it turns out that I now need to get a lawyer, I'm blaming you in the 206. Thanks a lot. We'll see you guys Monday morning. Have a great Mother's Day weekend. Goodbye.